Very good. Well, we are in a series of messages called the names of the believer. We're going to be doing this through the end of April. And this comes from a year ago. We had a series on the names of Jesus. We looked at all the different names that are given to our Lord. And so this time we're going to be looking at names given to us as believers. We looked at we are called Christians. We belong to Jesus Christ. We're Christ ones. That's why you're a Christian. I'm not a Hebrew Christian. I'm not a Messianic Jew. I belong to Jesus Christ. And my life is, my identity is bound up with the person of Jesus Christ. And from that, all the other names come. We are called the sons of God because Jesus is the Son of God. He is the capital S. We're the little s. If we're a son of God, we are an heir. If you're a son, you have an inheritance. We're heirs of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. We looked on Christmas Eve how Jesus says he is the light of the world, and then he says to us in Matthew that we're the light of the world. And last week we looked at the passage that we are called the children of God. We are children of God as Jesus was a child of God, and all that he went through as far as his birth, his circumcision, his growth, his learning and obedience from his earthly parents and his father, and so in the same way as us. So this morning, it's a new year, and it's a new a beginning of a new year, New Year's Day, today. So I picked a passage that is very familiar to all of us. And this is the passage in 2 Corinthians 5:17, in which Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. That's a name that's given to us. Paul says to us, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, let me talk about this passage just to begin with. First of all, you notice this is the New American Standard Bible version. But in the King James Version, which actually I prefer, but one is not more right than the other, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or new creation sometimes. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And let me share with you that if you have, I'm not sure the type of Bible you have and things like that. In my Bible, which is a New American Standard, it has what they call italics. If you ever find in your Bible, in your translation, and there's regular Roman print, and suddenly you come to some words and it's italics, the italics is really there because it's telling you that in the original language of the Greek, those words are not there. He's telling you that those words are not there, but for the sake of fluidity and flowing and better understanding the flow of what the writer is saying to you, we fill in these little words to get the flow of the sentence structure better to be acquainted with you. Well, that's nice, but it doesn't work here. So let me tell you what Paul is saying here. Paul is writing a number of things here in 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at them for a moment. And he says to us, therefore, if any man is in Christ, and he puts down his pen. How do I know? Because he is not in the original. It is in italics. Even the word he is a. And if you look at my Bible, if you want to see it afterwards, you will see that those three words are in italics. They're a completely different type. Because they're saying to me, Sam, in the original, it's not there. And what Paul does is that he thinks for a moment, if any person is in Christ, he puts down his pen and he says, what does it mean to be in Christ? He could have said Christian, that's true. He could have said son of God, that's true. He could have said light of the world, that's true. He could have said an heir, that's true. He puts down his pen and he puts a dash. And then he picks up his pen and what he writes is a new creation. A new creation. Not he is a, if anybody is in Christ, new creation. New day, New Year's Day, every day, 2006, 2004, 1981, 1942, new day, it's New Year's Day. It's all new, a new creation of God. Now, Paul is the one that invented this whole concept about being in Christ. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's the one, if I should not say invented it, but he's the one that amplified on it. 300 times he talks about being in Christ, through Christ, with Christ, by Christ. And he didn't invent it. You know who invented it? Is that Christ invented it. Our Lord spoke about so many times, my peace I give to you. The peace I give to you, in me you will have peace. in me. Read John 14 to John 17 and read how many times Jesus talks about what we have in him. In me, you will have peace. And Paul takes that seed of that concept and he literally just explodes it for all it's worth. What we have with Christ and through Christ and in Christ. If any man is in Christ, he is, like I say, a new creation. What we are in being a person in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, let me also show you a couple of things, the difference of the words. The word creation and the word creature, for some reason, in the Greek language, is the same word. Now, I know it's two different words to us, but this is the dilemma of sometimes it says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Let me just show to you a couple examples. Here it says that from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Now here it's translated creation, not creature, because he's talking about creatures, which is that in the beginning, by the way, Jesus was a creationist. You know that? Jesus did not believe in evolution. Jesus did not even believe in theistic evolution. Jesus did not believe that it took time. Jesus said, in the beginning, God made them. That's it. Whatever Darwin thinks, whatever people think about evolution, they're wrong. I mean, it's very simple. It's very simple. Whatever the scientists come up with, you know, I heard an absolute idiotic thing this week. Meteorologists, scientists in Arizona have predicted that 100 years from now, it's going to be hotter in Arizona than it is now. You know, these meteorologists can't even figure out what's going to happen in 3 days from now. No, I mean, isn't that the epitome of idiocy? I wish they'd stay alive to prove they were wrong, but guess what? They're going to be gone, and God's going to be here. As I told my wife, let God be true and every man a liar. Because you know something? You know something? God is true and every man is a liar. Jesus said from the beginning. So this is the Greek word. This word, Matthew 16, 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, can also be, as it's translated in some translations in the King James, to every creature. This can be translated, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the New American decides it's the word, the same word, creation. You have this word in Romans 1, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature. That can be translated, they worship and serve the creation rather than the creator. It could be. It could be. In fact, it may even fit more accurately as creation, because they're talking here not about the creature, they're talking about the creator. And the creator creates a creation. So the words are exactly the same. That's why in one translation you'll see, if any man is in Christ, a new creature. If any man is in Christ, new creation. I prefer creation. I prefer creation. And the reason is because in 2 Corinthians, now this is 2 Corinthians 5:17. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul writes this. For the God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. Now what's that a reference to? Genesis 1:1. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is God in his act of creating. The God who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And what is he saying? The God who said, let there be light in Genesis 1, is the one who's made us and given us the light, which is Jesus Christ. To see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so here is the God in the act of creation. And so I think more accurately, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, a new creation. A new creation. Hey, I'd rather be a new creation than a new creature. A new creation. Now then also, let me share with you, this is just introductory very quickly. About many, many times in this chapter, I'm going to show it to you. Notice the first word in 2 Corinthians 5:6. Therefore, be always of good courage. Verse 9. Therefore, we also have our own ambition. This is all in 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 11, therefore, every three verses, Paul says another therefore. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Verse 16, this is not the verse we're looking at. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors. I never noticed that in this one chapter, about six times, Paul writes the word therefore. So let's just go back for a minute. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, it says this, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our home, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now he who prepared us for this purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as our pledge. So he's saying, don't you realize that we have this treasure in our earth? And we have the future of what we have is not earth, is not the mortal, but the immortal. And so he says, verse 5, therefore, we always have courage. What do we have to fear? If God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus says, fear him that can destroy the body and after that do nothing. Fear him that can cast both body and soul in hell. So Paul says, if I realize that this life is just temporarily, I've got courage to live for Christ. I have courage for him. Let's look again at a therefore and how it's therefore. Look, verse 8. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. I'd rather be, he's convinced of this. I'm absent from the body, I'm home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Notice why that therefore is there. To be absent from the body is pleasing the Lord. Well, I want to please the Lord whether I'm in the body or absent from the body. That's why that therefore is there. Let's go on. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may give a recompense for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul says, if I know there's a judgment day, boy, I want to persuade men and rescue them from that day of judgment. He realized that men are going to have an account. Without Christ, they're doomed. I'm going to persuade men, being manifest of the things that are given to us. Let's look at another one for a moment. 2 Corinthians 5:19, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors in Christ. We are here to make people reconciled to God. People are alienated from God. People are in their sin. We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us to his own way. There's a way that seems right unto the man, but the end thereof is the way of death. But now I offer you life. Therefore, I'm an ambassador. I'm here to represent God, to come to your life, into your dwelling, and to bring a reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Isn't that amazing? Paul makes a statement, he says, therefore I do this. Paul makes a statement, therefore I am this. Paul makes a statement, but now in the middle of all these therefores, he's an ambassador. He's pleasing to the Lord. He is persuading men. He writes in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Verse 16. Therefore, from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ. You know what he's saying here? Let's just go back for a minute, if I can, in verse 16. Therefore, now we recognize no man according to the flesh. Paul says, I'm not prejudiced. I'm not bigoted. A Roman, a black person, a Jew, a Hebrew, a Pharisee, a woman at the well, a woman caught in adultery, a person here, the Roman leadership, Caesar, the Jews, whatever a person is, I don't judge anybody according to the flesh. I don't know anybody according to the flesh, whether you're circumcised, uncircumcised, Gentile, Jew, if you're a person that has means and you don't have means. I don't deal with people in any way that has anything to do with the flesh, because therefore I only think of one thing. People either are a new creation or they're not. Can I repeat this again? Notice. From now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if any is in Christ, he is a new creation. I look at people of who they are and what they are in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, I want to persuade you to get in Christ. But I only know of one thing. You're either a new creation or you're not. You're either a new creation in Christ or you're not. Now, you know, we are, you know, I'm convinced that if Jesus ever came to the world again, he would sit down with everybody, Democrat, Republican, Evangelical, Free, Baptist, and he'd look at all of us and he'd say, you know what, I'm going to be just gentle here. He'd look at us and he'd say, you know something? You're all a bunch of hypocrites. You're all a bunch of hypocrites. You say this and you do this. You say this, but you do this. You do this, but you're all a bunch of hypocrites. How easily we judge people. They're black. That means something. They have AIDS. That means something. They go to this church. That means something. They look pretty. That says something. They have money. That says something. They don't have money. That says something. They come dressed this way. That says something. Paul says, you know something? I don't judge anybody that way. Nothing. I only think of one thing. Wow, what it means to be in Christ. Red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is, I think of people in this title, in this new title that he's given to us. So let's look at this passage for a moment. And we're going to go through it verse by verse, and then I want to bring up some things that I think will be instructive. First of all, it says, if any man is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Think of what people, some of the people are who have come to Christ. I mean, here I was, a proudful, arrogant, immoral, lying, angry, bent, egotistical person. Think of who you were. Think of people. Paul says in Corinthians that some of you were homosexuals and effeminates, and some of you were murderers. He says that. Think of it. You know, when you hear people's testimonies, you hear their testimony of their whole background and what they were and what they've done. And Jesus Christ has a million, a billion, billions and billions over the ages of stories of people who have come to him from every kindred, tribe, and tongue and nation. Think of it. Think of the vastness. Think of it. Think of your boss, who you can have a problem with. Think of your mother-in-law, your daughter-in-law, your sister-in-law. They could be new creations. Think of your neighbor. He could be a new creation. But we have views about them. We have opinions about them. If any man is in Christ, think of it. It's amazing that you're in Christ. It's amazing I'm in Christ. And it's amazing that there's one solution for everybody in the world who needs Christ. One solution. You don't need a new gospel for Buddhists. You don't need a new gospel for Mormons. You don't need a new gospel for Jews. You don't need a new gospel for Muslims. You don't need a new gospel for Shintoists. You don't need a new gospel for Catholics. You don't need a new gospel for Lutherans. I thought I'd include everybody, right? Isn't it amazing? If any man is in Christ, has nothing to do with your label, nothing to do with your upbringing. If anybody is in Christ, think of the people, their costumes. You see people from Mongolia when Ken was there. You see people that I show pictures of in China, or you see people in Africa. I mean, think of it for my friend. You look at it in National Geographic, but it's real. It's real. These people are real in different costumes, different languages, different ethnic groups, different food, different things, different way of living, different. And yet, if a person gets in Christ, if anyone gets in Christ, if anyone gets in Christ, one solution for the whole world, one answer, one solution. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Look what Paul writes here. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. I mean, that's the whole world, my friend. You're either circumcised or not circumcised, if you're a man, obviously. That's it. There's two groups. You're either a Jew or a Gentile. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, bond nor free, barbarian nor Scythian. It's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, but a new creation, a new creation, a new creation of being in Christ. For those who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. That's kind of a controversial comment. Is the Israel of God the Jews who believe? Is the Israel of God, it's a new Israel, the Gentiles who believe? What is this Israel of God? You know something? I don't know what the Israel of God is. All I know is that if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Whether it's the Israel of God and it's the Jews or it's the Gentiles or it's a new group, which is Jews and Gentiles put together, I tend to think that it's just that you're a new creation. Let no one cause me trouble for this, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. He says, let me tell you something. I can take my coat off and I can show you what I've done to make people new creations. Shipwrecks, standing before people, humiliated, stones. I can show you the marks I have. Let me show you the marks I have. Don't talk to me about Lutheran, Catholic, Buddhist, this, that. Let me talk to you about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, because it's about having a new creation and being a new creation. Then, of course, if any man is in Christ, there it is. If any man is in Christ, here's a wonderful verse in 1 Corinthians 1:30. By his doing, this is God's doing, are you in Christ Jesus? By God's doing, are you in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness from God, sanctification from God, and redemption from God? My friend, if it depends on you, you are at best a lukewarm, made-over, remanufactured, same old sinner. You know what I'm saying? You're just repackaged when you go to the psychiatrist. All he's doing is repackaging you. You're not becoming new, because only God has the power of God. A psychiatrist and psychoanalyst, they may reveal some things to you. I'm not demeaning that, but I'm saying transformational life. Transformational life, be ye transformed, is only done by the power of God. Only done by the power of God. And of his doing are you in Christ Jesus. Here's a reference again in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. What he did is that he put us in Christ. He put us in Christ. If you are in Christ, you've been put in Christ, and your destiny is bound up in Christ, and it doesn't depend on you. It's not about you. My friend, that's why people are always depressed, because they always think it's about them. People are wrapped up about themselves. And I can tell you something. If you think about yourself or you think about your problems, I'm going to tell you the time of day you're going to have. Pretty rotten. The hardest person to live with is yourself. Not your wife, not your husband, not your boss, not your sister-in-law, brother-in-law, daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, son, daughter. The hardest person to live with is you. I wouldn't want to live with you. And you wouldn't want to live with me. God had to give me a saint to live with me, my wife. Ask her about it. Notice. He made us alive together with Christ. Why? We were dead. Where was life? Christ. Let's read on. Notice. And he raised us up with him. Raised us up. Sometimes you can't get out of bed. He raised us up with Christ. He seated us with Christ. Notice. He seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Read on. So that in the ages to come he may show the surpassing greatness of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ means that God has taken your sorrowful, sinful life and cleansed it and washed it and put it bound up in the person of his Son. And his destiny is your destiny. That's why you're the Son of God, the heir of God, a child of God, the light of the world, all these names. That's why you're called the Christian, because it's bound up with the person of Jesus Christ. And you got to get in Christ. Look at this passage, Romans 16:7. Paul is finishing this letter and he's writing these different greetings. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. They were in Christ before Paul got in Christ. In Christ before me. Repentance of your sins, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, being born again, all equals the same thing, being in Christ. When you're born again, you're born in Christ. When you repent of your sins, your salvation is in Christ. When you put your faith in Him, your faith is in Christ. It's bound up in Him, bound up in Him, bound up in Him. If I just touch the hem of His garment, remember the woman said that? She touched the hem of His garment and she was well. If you just could, you know, Jesus puts His fingers on your eyes. I mean, I'm just talking about all these miracles that Jesus says were just spiritual realities. People could just touch Christ, touch Him, get to Him, they found salvation. If he gives you eyes to see, he gives me eyes to see. I saw on May 21st, 1971. God gave me a whole new set of eyes, spiritual eyes. All that happened when we were put in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Then He says, if any man is in Christ, a new creation. Now let me show you how this word new is used many times. There it is. He is a new creation, new creature. Matthew 9:17. Nor do people put new wines in old wineskins. So a new wine means it's never been drank from. It's new. It's new. It's not refactored. It's brand new. Those things grew on a vine. They were grapes. They were harvested. They haven't been reincarnated. It's brand new. Brand new. New wineskins. That's the word that's used there. Let me show you how Jesus used it. Of course, Jesus was using it there, but here in this sense. In the same way, He took the cup after He'd eaten it, saying, this is the cup which is poured out for you. It is the new covenant. The new covenant in My blood. I've been reading these long sections of the Bible. I was reading yesterday, half the book of Numbers. And before that, a couple half sittings of the whole book of Leviticus. And I'll tell you, my goodness, I'm happy this is the old Bible, the Old Testament. I'm happy it's the New Testament. This is the New Testament. How many of you want to go and dip your ear, finger, deer, and do this, and do this, and hold this, and have this wrapping, and don't do this, and stand up this, and do this? I mean, my goodness, it's maddening. It's maddening. Man, if God's keeping track of me under that way, I'm really doomed. But this is the new covenant. The new. It's never been before. I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not the covenant that was before. I will take out the heart of stone and put in the heart of flesh. It's a new covenant. Look what it says here in John 4:19. And in that place there He was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden there was a new tomb. And notice how to describe new. It's a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. No one had ever been used that tomb for a burial. Never, never, never. A new covenant? Never. New wine? Never. A tomb? Never. And if this says to us, it's a new creation. He who sits on the throne says, behold, I am making all things new. All things new. All things new. Now, let me talk about this idea of creation and creator. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Of course, you know as well as I do, I think I have it here. Well, no, let me go back here then. Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That verse tells you two things, only two things, that there is a God, and the first thing He ever did, the first verb that God ever gives to us of what He does, not even what He is. You don't know from Genesis 1:1 if He's a good God. You don't know from Genesis 1:1 how much He knows. You don't know that He's all-powerful. You don't know that He's everlasting. You don't know nothing. Anything. You only know one thing. There is a God, and He is in the business of creating. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. God made something brand new out of nothing. He didn't have some old soil somewhere and he said, now this didn't work, let me now redo this and let me throw it out there. No, the world was made brand new from nothing. New wine, new tomb, new creation that's been given to us, which is in Christ. The first thing God said, of course, was that let there be light. And there was light. There was light. In John, it says this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So here is the God who creates, the God who gives light, the God who creates and gives light, and the light is, Jesus is the light of all men. All men. Our life is wrapped up with the light of this world, the light that's given to us. The light that lights up all men is God's plan given to us in the light. Now, I say all this because look at this verse, Romans 6:4. Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism and death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. That's why we're a new creation. It's the newness of life. It's a new creation. It's a new tomb. It's a new wine. It's a new covenant. It's a new life. It's a new life because we are in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me read on. Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcised, by the so-called circumcised, this is the Gentiles being called by the Jews, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was your state. That's how bad off you were. But now in Christ, you who formerly were far off, you've brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. He made the two groups into one, and read on, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make of the two into one new man. And many people actually believe, I was looking at some commentators, that some people believe that this phrase, therefore if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Some people think that's referring not to the individual, but to the church. The church is a brand new creation. From every kindred, tribe, and tongue and nation, a whole new church, a whole new gathering of people is the new creation of God, the church. And he's made here, made the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, which is given to us. In Ephesians 4, that is in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceits, that you have been renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness and of the truth. The new self, the image of God. We are made in the image of God, and that was broken away and torn away at the fall. And in Christ, we are made new in Christ. We're a new creation. We're going all the way back to the restoration and the fall. One other verse and then some application here. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Notice the word creation is always used here. God has created a new self, just the way he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Notice what he says, according to the image of the one who created him, the renewal in which there is no distinction between Jews or Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman, but Christ in all and in is all and in all. So if any man is in Christ, he's new. Now you may say something to me, I don't feel new. You know why you would say that? Because you're looking at yourself. You're wrapped up with you. I don't feel new. Don't you think you'd say, if I was new, I would feel new? Yeah, you should, and I'm going to tell you how you should. But if you keep saying to yourself, I don't feel new, I feel rotten still, I feel the same, I feel the same, I'm still depressed, I'm still depressed, I'm still depressed, I'm still having problems, I'm still unhappy, I still have this problem, I still have this problem, I still have this problem. You know, you got to get your eyes off you. You. It's not about you. And miracle of miracles, which is the best part of this verse, Paul tells us what it means to be a new creation. Notice. Therefore, if any was in Christ, new creation, the old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Let me tell you something that I think is one of the most important secrets of spiritual life, is to take your hurts and your pain and your frustrations, and if I could say this, forget about it. Put them at the feet of the cross. You mean to tell you why many people are depressed and why people have problems? They're holding on to hurts and situations. They were hurt 10 years ago at a job. They were hurt from another marriage. They were hurt by their rebellious kid. They were hurt by their husband. They were hurt. So you go around wounded and scarred and debilitated, and you're bleeding emotionally and spiritually all the time. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Look at these words of Paul, Philippians 3:3. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God. Notice we. He's writing here to Gentiles, by the way, who are not circumcised. But he says, we are the true circumcision. We do have the mark, the spiritual mark, who worship God in glory and in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Now he's saying, let me tell you something. If I wanted to put the spotlight on me, let me put the spotlight on me. Let me tell you about what I was. Although I myself have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else had a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. I was circumcised on the right day. I was in the right place at the right time, the nation of Israel. I was of the right tribe, the tribe of Benjamin, the favored one. I was the Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was as the law. I was a Pharisee. I was as the zeal. I persecuted the church. And as to righteousness in the law, I found I was blameless. Sam, all that stuff you read in Leviticus, I did it. All that stuff you read in Exodus, I did it. All that stuff you read in Numbers, I did it. I literally was obsessed with my performance of doing this. By the way, I have 615 to go. This. 615 laws in the Old Testament. 615 laws. But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as lost for the sake of Christ. These things, let me tell you the badges I had, the spiritual badges I had. All the things that could puff me up and make me good and look good and be good and act good and think I'm good. All these things were lost for the sake of Christ. Notice, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Not having already obtained it or having already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and reaching forward lies before me. This was a secret. Of the powerful life of the Apostle Paul. Paul, don't you know that these Jews did you? They tried to assassinate you. The Romans are trying to hoodwink you. Don't you know these are doing all these things? Paul said, I'm not going to let any of that affect me. All that spilt milk, that's done, that's over with. Now, I can learn something from it, but I'm not going to dwell on it, I'm not going to live on it. My friend, if you think about yesterday, I'm going to tell you the type of day you're going to have today. Rotten. 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 You got to put your hurts and your past into the hands of Jesus Christ. You got to put your agony and people that have hurt you and things, and I'm telling you, bring it up, regurgitate it, throw it up. Vomit it out. I'm serious. You're laughing, but there's people that are in hell every day because of the agony of things that have happened to them. And I'm not belittling it. But my friend, there is a way out. I know it's a terrible thing to be abused. I know it's a terrible thing to be abused sexually or physically or from a husband or a wife or a situation or a job, or you weren't appreciated, or this happened to you and your life hasn't been rosy and it's not perfect and everything. My friend, did you just come from the doctor and he says you got terminal cancer? Be thankful for that. You're not in the emergency room right now. You're not in the cancer ward. You haven't been given 2 weeks to live. Put your house in order. God is always the point. I always say this. God is the point of a new beginning. God is the point of a new beginning because God is always about what's new. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind me. Forgetting what lies behind me. Forget about that church that hurt you 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Forget about it. You think that you're moaning and you're groaning about it? You think you're hurting that pastor from 20 years ago? He could care less. He's having a great New Year's Day meal, and you here are all warped up in your agony. You think that what your brother-in-law did, your father-in-law did, your dead father did? You think what your dead father did 15 years ago? He's dead. He's gone. You can't do anything about it. And he's reaching out of the grave to pull you down. He's reaching out of the grave to pull you down. So you've sinned. I've sinned. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. So you've sinned. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all of our sin. You want to hold on to your sin? You deserve your agony of your sin. Go on, hold on to it. Go on, think about it. You deserve the heart attack. You deserve your high blood pressure. You deserve the pills you take. Forget it. New. Every day it's a new day. My friend, I'm telling you honestly, go home today and vomit out your agony. Vomit it out. Tell him all of the hurts and the agony and put it in the hands of Jesus Christ, or nail it in the hands of Jesus Christ on the cross, and get up and turn up your head. God is in the business of new creatures, new creations. God does new things. New things. New things. Forgetting what lies behind, I press on for what lies ahead. Pressing on what lies ahead. Let's read on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Man, this guy knew it. That's why he said, I've learned the secret of contentment. I've learned what it is to have a lot. I've learned what it is to have little. What's the secret? What's the secret? He tells us the secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God wants me to preach another message, he'll give me life to preach another message. God wants you to do something, he'll give you what he wants you to do. My friend, it's not about you. It's bigger than you. It's more important than you. If any man is in Christ, new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. What are new things that have happened to us? Well, probably one of the greatest things that have happened to us is that we have a whole new way to God. I mean, casting all your burdens upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. If God is for me, who can be against me? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. We have a whole new way to God. No matter whatever your situation is, you can pray. You can pray. You can say, my wife doesn't understand me. The church doesn't understand me. My children don't understand me. But you understand me. You understand me. What an opening. You don't need to keep it yourself. You don't need to agonize it yourself. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. How can I ask of God? There's a new and living way to ask of God. Ask of God. Ask of God. You know, a pastor once said that you allow God to get so close as you let him get so close to you. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Yeah, that's a nice thing. Blah, 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 blah. I say that many times at the beginning of the service. Blah, 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 blah. Draw near to God. Have you ever tried it? Have you ever tried it? Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Why don't you try it? You know something? It works. It works. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. It works. Confess your sins to him and be cleansed. It works. It works. He has a new strength for you. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The strength you have, the power you have. I don't feel strong. Because you're thinking of your strength. And my friend, it's pretty limited with your strength. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape. You want to be obedient to God? God will let you be obedient to him. He'll probably open up the way that you can obey him. God loves nothing more than to see his children obeying him. He that hears my words and obeys them is the man that built his house upon the rock. Provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. My friend, what do these words mean to us? I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes me will never thirst. Is that gobbledygook? Is that gobbledygook? I am the bread of life. Amen, amen. Jesus is the bread of life. Yeah. And he who comes to him will not hunger, and he who believes in him will never thirst. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk into darkness, but will have the light of life. I mean, this is pretty amazing. Why? Because God's in the business of new creations. You're a new creation in Christ. Put all that guck and throw it into the pit of hell and put it at the cross of Jesus Christ and press on toward what's due. And every day it's a new day. I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Well, that's not true. I've done funerals. I've seen people die. What do you mean then? Do you believe this? I'm not so sure. What does this mean? You'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. You'll have the light of life. You won't walk in darkness. You'll never die. What does it mean? It means it's new. It means that it's wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. If you look at yourself and your life and your temporal life and you're a vapor in here for a short time, and your issues and your goals and your finances and your happiness and well, my friend, you might as well be miserable. You deserve to be miserable. Did you hear what I just said? Let me go through this. If it's your finances and your security and your happiness and how your kids end up looking and being and your health, and you'll be miserable. You'll be miserable. But if it's about the light of Christ, and it's about living for Christ, and it's about knowing Christ, and it's about Christ, and it's about Christ, and I forget everything for the sake of having Christ and press on toward Christ, oh, my friend, then you're new. Try it. Try it. Try it today. It's January 1st, 2006. It's a new day. We're coming to communion. When we take communion, I want you to think about all the crap that's in you, all the sins, all the hurts, and throw it out to God. Throw it out to God. Forget all that. Forget all it. Once in your life, throw it out and forget about it. Forget about it. You confess your sins to God and you get up and say, I hope I'm forgiven. What kind of thought is that? You are forgiven. Be confident of this thing. It's your surety of what Christ has done, not what you've done or what you feel. And then you have this amazing verse. I'm going to make all things new, it says in Revelation. Read this, Isaiah. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered nor come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad for my people. And there will no longer be heard in her the sound of weeping or the sound of crying. Why do you cry? Why do you weep? Because you're hurting. There's not going to be no hurting. You're not going to hurt, my friend. My friend, my friend, it's the power of Jesus Christ. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days. Have you ever lost a child? I'm not saying to raise your hand. Don't read anymore. Look at me. Don't read anymore. Look at me. Anybody lose a child? Don't raise your hand. You've hurt. You lost a child. You've lost a situation. You know what it's going to be? There won't be a child that loses but a few days. Child only lived to be 16, 14, 13. My first funeral was a 14-year-old boy. Or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100. And the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought cursed. They will build houses and inhabit them. They will also plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and another inhabit. They will not plant another eat. For as the lifeline of the tree, so will be the days of my people. You know what a tree lives like? Go to the Saguaro National Park. Trees before America was born. George Washington was around. So as the lifeline of the tree, so it will be of my people. And my chosen ones will wear out the works of their hand. They will not labor in vain or bear children in calamity, for they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Wow. You want instant prayer? Before you even call, you got it. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will graze no more. No more Iraq, no more war, no more killing. War is hell. War is hell. No more concentration camps, no more killing of Sudanese, no more Rwandas, no more Cambodia, Pol Pot regime, no more Vietnams, no more invasion of China from the Japanese. No more war. No more war. Read the book of Numbers. The first thing God did to get them together was that they had to get an army together. 603,000 men. Why? Because there's enemies out there. No more war. The wolf and the lamb will lie graze together. The lion will eat straw like the ox, and the dust will be the serpent's head. They will do no evil or harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. My friend, you got a new name this morning. It's a new day. It's January 1st. I say this lovingly and tenderly for your good. Stop moaning of the past of that people have done to you. Listen to me. I say this in love. I say it as your pastor. When Jesus was crucified, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't going to go on the cross bitter and angry. He had to offer himself a holy, undefiled, separate from sinners, clean hands and a pure heart. Put it at the feet of Jesus Christ and leave it. And leave it. Throw it up. Throw it up and put it away. I remember years ago, if I can say this in closing, years ago I was hurt very badly by a church. I was not a pastor. To make a long story short, I remember I wrote a letter to the people in the church, which I never sent to the leaders of the church. And it was a letter what I did was I was throwing up all this guck, all this hurt, all this pain. I was throwing it up. And I remember it was in New Jersey, 340 Passaic Avenue. I can tell you exactly the whole incident. And I can tell you, I remember taking that letter and I burned it. Deborah was already asleep. I burned it. And I took the ashes and I went out to the front of the house on the porch and I threw out those ashes. Went to bed. The next morning I woke up and there was snow on the ground. Hadn't snowed. You don't get a lot of snow in northern New Jersey. I mean, you do get snow, but it's not very regular. And I can tell you, I can sing the highest praises of this pastor in the church. I remember, yes, the hurt, no. I'm not saying you're going to become a vacuum and forget it, but you've lost the pain of it, the hurt of it. That's what I'm talking about. You can live life in newness of life. And then the day's going to come when God's going to say, now let's erase all that and fill it with the fullness of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning. Can we even imagine, could we even imagine what you have done for us in Jesus Christ? That's why we're going to take forever and ever. When we've been there 10,000 years, we see no lays to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And so, Lord, this morning I pray for visitors here with us, people in our church, people I've counseled with, people that we know. And I pray that this morning as we come to this communion table on this new day, on this Lord's Day, the day of Jesus' resurrection, that the Holy Spirit would draw near to each one of us personally and individually and help us to literally vomit up and out of us the pain and the hurt that tear us down and pull us down, forgetting what lies behind, my friend, and pressing on to what lies ahead. All things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. My friend, I look you in the eye and I say, if any man is in Christ, you are a new creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Men, come forward as we're serving this morning. Now let me just encourage you, I mean this very specifically, as you take the elements this morning, as you think about it this morning, I want you to go through and think about situation, instances. Don't say, forgive me of my sins. Jesus is saying, what sins? What sins? Heal me from my hurts. What hurt? God is not in the business of generics. God does not have generics. Bless the missionaries. Which missionary? How? What do you want me to do for them? I love praying to God specifically, because then when God answers specifically, I know that he heard me specifically. And let me tell you something. You need God that's pretty specific. So bring up, put it at the cross of Jesus Christ, and let his blood cleanse you, and make you new. Why don't you stand up together? Paul, would you pray, please?
Father, we thank you that in Christ all things are new.
Amen.
And that we have a new beginning as we are in him.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for the commemoration of his death, that through his death we have life.
Yes.
We thank you for these elements, Lord, and we pray that they may minister to our hearts.
Amen.
That we may, where we need to, begin afresh with the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In his name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, new creation. If any man is in Christ, new creation. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he says, "This is my body that is broken for you." How we are healed and blessed and saved by the broken body of the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat as new creations in the new Christ." Let's eat together.
Let's pray. Father, we thank thee again for the opportunities that we might be found in your house of prayer to seek you in prayer and to hear your words and to sing of your praise. The song we enjoy to say and to hear is, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And as now we are gathered around your table, you have also said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Whosoever should eat of this bread should never hunger, and whosoever drinketh from the cup should never thirst. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your salvation given to us on the cross, whereby we might have life everlasting. Hear our prayer, Lord, and be with us throughout this new year. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses from all of our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Perhaps a lot of the pain you have or situations you have is your own doing, things you've done and sins you've committed. And my friend, you don't need to stay there. You don't need to stay there. It's not about what you now can do to rectify it. It's what Jesus has done to cleanse you from it. So as you come to him, I want to, with all the strength I can, to encourage you to put your sins and put your hurts into the hands of Jesus Christ, his suffering, his nail-pierced hands, that you may be healed and freed and walk in newness of life. This is the blood of the new covenant between you and my Father for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Let's drink together. That's good. Just very briefly, a month or so ago, we welcomed some new members into our church. I know there's a number of them from the second service. But if you were voting in, the Rough Corns or so, if you were here, if you could come forward at this time. I'm not sure who's here and who's not.